Good morning. My name is Charlie White with Penn State Extension, and the next three authors on this talk, Tiana DuPont, Dave Hartman, Mina Hata, are also with Penn State Extension. They're county educators, and we're very involved with the implementation of this on-farm research. And Jason Kay is a faculty member in the Department of Ecosystem Science and Management. So cover crops are a tool that farmers can use to manage a variety of ecosystem functions in organic systems. And this spider plot shows some of the functions that farmers might be trying to achieve by using cover crops. For example, nitrogen supply, nitrogen retention, weed suppression, and so on. Any given single species of cover crop is generally optimized to perform only a few of these functions well. So for example, here we have a legume cover crop in monoculture that does a very good job at supplying nitrogen to the next cash crop. It promotes yields of the next cash crop, but it doesn't do a great job at nitrogen retention over the winter time, or suppressing weeds, or controlling erosion. On the other hand, a grass cover crop is very good at retaining nitrogen, suppressing weeds, controlling erosion, but it may immobilize nitrogen upon decomposition. So sometimes there's trade-offs between these functions, and what I'll be talking about today is the trade-off between nitrogen supply and nitrogen retention. So this work is part of a broad project, a multidisciplinary project, where we are looking at, can multi-species cover crop mixtures provide a wider range of functions than monocultures? And we have team members that are working on all of these different ecosystem functions. And one of the questions that we're asking is, can cover crop mixtures minimize the trade-off between nitrogen supply and nitrogen retention? And that's what I'll be focusing on with my talk today. So this is our project team. Our work is taking place at a research station as well as three organic farms throughout Pennsylvania. The research station plots are in transition to organic, and the on-farm experiments are all on mature organic systems that have been certified organic for more than 10 years. So the work that I'll present today are from these three farms in the eastern part of Pennsylvania in Montour County, Berks County, and Lancaster County. And this work was funded by the USDA Organic Research and Extension Initiative. So in these on-farm experiments, the cover crops were planted in a typical rotation for organic farmers in Pennsylvania in between a winter small grain and a corn crop. So the cover crop window, or the fallow period between these cash crops, runs from July to May. And this cover crop window is important for a couple reasons. First of all, it's a window where the following crop is a nitrogen-demanding cash crop. So it's important for us to maximize our nitrogen supply function from the cover crop in order to achieve good cash crop yields of the corn. It's also a very long fallow period. This is a 10-month fallow period from between July and May, probably the longest fallow period that an organic farmer might have in their rotation. And it occurs during months of the year when soil temperatures are warm, moisture availability is high. So there's a good potential for nitrogen mineralization to be occurring during the late summer in this fallow period. And because of that mineralization, there's potential for nitrate leaching. So it's also important for us to prevent that nitrate leaching, to have cover crops that can retain nitrogen over the winter. So this sets us up for trying to have a cover crop that can balance these functions in this cover crop window. So the experiment on these three farms, I had three cover crop treatments at each farm. The normal cover crop monoculture practice for each farm, and that varied across the three farms. A three-species mixture that was designed by each farmer. And this mixture took into account multiple goals of the farmer, and I'll describe what those treatments were as I get to each farm. And then we used the same four-species mixture planted at all three farms. And this four-species mixture was derived from one of the treatments that we had at the research station. The experiments were conducted in a randomized complete block design with four replicates, and there were two start years for the experiments at each farm. The data I'll present to you today are derived from measurements of cover crop biomass nitrogen in the fall and spring. We measured nitrate leaching using anion exchange resin bags buried at a depth of 30 centimeters during the cover crop growing window. And then we followed the cover crop treatments with a corn crop, and we split the plots into nitrogen addition subplots, as well as just unfertilized plots. And we used soybean meal at two of the farms, and we used mushroom compost at the third farm as the nitrogen addition in each of those subplots. So I'll go through each farm here and describe the cover crop treatments and the results that we observed. At Montour County, the monoculture was a monoculture of red clover, and this was seeded in August into a tilled seed bed. All of these treatments were seeded that way. The three-species mixture was a mixture of Austrian winter pea, crimson clover, and triticale, and the farmer selected this mix because he had had good luck with Austrian winter pea on his farm. He wanted to see how crimson clover might perform, and he grows triticale himself, so the seed production can occur on his own land and makes it very economical. And the four-species mix, which is the mix that is the same across all the farms and derived from the research station, is a mix of Austrian winter pea, canola, red clover, and rye. And this is a mix where we tried to hit a number of different functions. We tried to have quick-growing species in the fall that would suppress weeds, flowering species like canola to provide resources for pollinators, nitrogen scavengers like the canola and the rye, along with nitrogen fixers, the peas and the red clover. So this data here shows the biomass nitrogen in the fall and the spring for the three different cover crop treatments. If you look at the bars here on the left-hand side, we have the fall biomass nitrogen, and the right-hand side, we have the spring biomass nitrogen. And the different colors within the bars indicate the different species in the mixture. And the first thing that we saw is that the mixtures achieved similar or greater biomass nitrogen than the red clover. And the other thing that we saw is that in the mixtures, the non-legumes dominated the nitrogen content. There's a couple other things that are worth noting in this three-species mixture. I can get the pointer to work here. Oh, there we go. In the three-species mixture, we did see some winter kill of the Austrian winter pea here, so that winter killed. And we also saw a reduction in the nitrogen content of the four-species mixture between the fall and the spring due to some winter killing of the species in that mixture. These data show the nitrate leaching measured during the cover crop growth window using the anion exchange resin bags. And we saw that as you added grass and brassica species to the mix in this four-species mixture, we decreased the amount of nitrate leaching that occurred compared to the red clover monoculture. The three-species mixture is in between the two there, and some of the lack of reduction that we saw may be due to that Austrian winter pea winter killing and decomposing, and some of that nitrate percolating below 30 centimeters into our resin bags. The corn yields shown here, the red bars indicate the no nitrogen part of the plots, and the blue bars indicate where we added soybean meal. And the key results here are that nitrogen supply to corn was sufficient after the red clover treatment and after the three species treatment. Yields did not significantly increase by adding nitrogen. However, we did see that supplemental nitrogen was required after this four species mixture. So the main conclusions here are that all of the three treatments exhibited trade-offs between nitrogen supply and retention. The red clover and the Austrian winter pea crimson clover triticale mix had good nitrogen supply potential, but poor nitrogen retention. And the four species mixture had good nitrogen retention, but poor nitrogen supply. At the Berks County farm, the cover crop monoculture was rye. And this is a farm where the farmer manages his cover crops for forage production. So all of these treatments, the above ground biomass was actually cut in May and turned into forage for livestock, and all that was returned to the soil was a little bit of stubble and the root systems. So he grows rye and monoculture primarily for the forage value. The three species mixture that he chose was a mixture of crimson clover, forage radish, and rye, and the purpose behind this mix was to still be able to harvest forage in the spring with the crimson clover and the rye. And he also felt like he had some subsoil compaction on his farm, and so he wanted to use the radish in the mix to break up some of that compaction. And the four species mixture is the same as I described before. These were all planted in August into a tilled seedbed, and as I described, harvested for forage in the spring. This is the biomass nitrogen content, and what we saw is that the mixtures all had greater biomass nitrogen content than the rye monoculture alone. In both fall and spring, there is no significant seasonality interaction. And again, in the mixtures, non-legumes dominated the biomass nitrogen content of the mixture. Nitrate leaching at this site was very low for all the treatments. We did see that there was very slightly greater amount of nitrate leaching under the three species and four species mixture, statistically significant, but biologically probably insignificant. It was only a 1 to 2 kilogram nitrogen per hectare increase in those mixtures. In terms of the corn yields, we saw that the rye monoculture required supplemental nitrogen to maximize yields. And keep in mind, these are just the stubble and root systems that are decomposing in the soil, not all of the above ground biomass. And in the three and four species mixtures, no supplemental nitrogen was required to maximize corn yield. So the rye monoculture exhibited a trade-off between nitrogen retention and the supply, while the three and four species mixtures minimized those trade-offs. We saw good nitrogen supply and good nitrogen retention in those treatments. Our last farm, the Lancaster County farm, the monoculture treatment is a red clover, and this was frost seeded into the spelt crop. And then the three species treatment was a three species clover treatment. And the farmer selected this because he really wanted to maximize his nitrogen supply to the next cash crop. That was his main objective. But he thought that maybe adding some diversity with these other clover species might help. And this is also a commercially available seed mix from one of our seed suppliers in the Northeast. This was planted into a tilled seed bed in August. And the four species mixture, as described before, also planted into a tilled seed bed. The key result here is that the mixtures containing non-legumes actually had greater nitrogen content than the mixtures containing only legumes. And the summer-seeded legume mixture, nitrogen content in the weeds was actually greater than the nitrogen content in the clovers. We saw that both mixtures reduced nitrate leaching, and the reduction in that three-species clover mix may be mostly due to the nitrogen uptake by the weeds. And then we didn't see any nitrogen response in the corn yields under any of the cover crop treatments. So the red clover exhibited a trade-off, good nitrogen supply but poor nitrogen retention, and both of the mixtures minimized the trade-offs. So the overall conclusions are that monocultures tended to exhibit trade-offs between nitrogen supply and nitrogen retention, whereas in 4 of 6 cases, the mixtures minimized these trade-offs. We saw that organic systems tend to have soils with high nitrogen mineralization potential, and significant nitrogen leaching can occur during long fallow periods if you don't have a cover crop that can recycle this nitrogen. And so these results indicate that including nitrogen recycling species in this cover crop window prior to a corn crop may be more important than we previously thought. Thank you. Yes, sir, in the way back.
Why do you think the Austrian winter peas can survive in the system very well?
Sure. So Austrian winter peas tend to be sensitive to winter kill if they're planted too early. So we planted these in late August, and given the climates at the locations, they were just mature. Sometimes, in some cases, they were actually flowering, and so that caused them to winter kill. If we had planted them a month later, they probably would have survived the winter.
Thank you.